us just to read it together, and if you can share it with somebody next to you. It's from Ephesians 6:7, and of course this whole song, Make Me a Servant. But let's just read that together. It's a wonderful place to start. Serve wholeheartedly
as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free.
Ephesians 6:7. Good girl. You know, it's so interesting that even though we know some of these words, we know them well, we forget. We forget how to apply them. And the Lord has told us, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And to those who believe, they must believe that he is present, here, now. He says, I am the great I am. You must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently, continually, in earnest, seek him. And that's what we do here on Wednesdays. I love the Georgetown study, and I love being with you women. And one of the things I thought about as we study today on surrender and obedience, just how important your lives are, your arena of influence that God has given you, how important it is that you be filled with the Lord, that you be filled with Christ. And just imagine somebody with two buckets. And one bucket is full of love and joy and forgiveness and mercy. And the other bucket is full of bitterness and sorrow and anger and critique. And if you're carrying these two buckets and somebody bumps into you, what sloshes out? What sloshes out? And that's why we want to intentionally be so full of the Lord that we don't take one moment for granted. You never know what one opportunity that you see somebody, just you're saying, hey, and blessings on you, or I'm praying for you, what a difference that that makes. It reminds me of the little girl who's in first grade. Her name's Emily, and she is in the Sunday school class, and they had all prepared, all 11 children in the Sunday school class were going to recite different scriptures at the big church, you know. And so they're all dressed up, as you know what moms do. They just put bows on them from head to toe, and she was all dressed up and cute, and the grandparents were there. And she just had one little verse. She had practiced it 100 times at home. She knew it perfectly. But when she stood up in front of that big crowd at church, she just went, oh, my gosh, you know. And so the mother, the wise mom, kind of made her way towards the front, and she mouthed the words to her little daughter, who was so nervous. The light of the world. I am the light of the world. And so then she got it. She was so excited. She said, my mother is the light of the world. And of course, you are the light of the world, whether you're a mother or an aunt or a dear friend. You are. God says, we are the light of the world. Jesus himself told us that. But what else did he tell us? And I want you to look at John, and we're going to go through some different verses as well as some that were in our lesson. But these are ones that have struck me powerfully for the most part of my life. John 14. Just turn to John 14. And I know some of you already have these underlined. If not, this is a great time to do it. But Elizabeth Elliot was one of my incredible mentors. I got to be with her in person many times and read every book, listened to every tape. Remember tapes? Those were things before CDs. We had these little cassette tapes. But John 14, 15. You know, we love John 14 because almost at every memorial service we'll hear, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I mean, can't you just see the Lord trying to explain this to his disciples? And he says, and behold, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And you know the way that I'm going. And we love Thomas because Thomas goes, excuse me, we don't know where you're going. And we don't know the way. And thank heaven, the Lord tells us that tremendous truth. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me. And it's just startling. And he goes on to try to communicate to them how important it is that he goes away, because he realizes they don't really understand about his crucifixion and his resurrection. And that it's a good that he goes away, because he's going to send the Holy Spirit. But what is he reminding them three times in John 14? The first time we see it is in verse 15. If you love me, Holly Leachman, if you love me, you will. Not option, not might, not maybe. If you love me, you will obey my commands. If you love me, you will obey what I have commanded, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, an advisor, a helper, a lawyer, an advocate, a comforter, a teacher, a professor, an advisor, a lover of your soul. That's what I'll give you. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because they cannot see him or know him. But you know him. You are intimately acquainted with him because he lives in you and you live in him. Is that just the best? Is that just making you just so fired up? I mean, who wants Jesus Christ, the Lord, to be the lover of your soul, your counselor, your advisor? Something comes up. Excuse me. Are you talking to my advisor? No. Isn't that great? And we don't take advantage of that. I mean, when you take it to the nth degree of what this means, it is so powerful and so awesome, you would never be the same ever again in your life. We see John 14, 21. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him, and I will show myself. I will reveal myself to that person. Holly, if you will love me, not only will my Father love you, but you know what? You'll have revelation. You will get to see things because it says right there, and God can't lie. I can lie. As y'all know, I'm a recovering liar. But the Lord cannot lie. The Lord cannot lie. It's true. It's truer than how I feel. Now, ladies, if you haven't written that down, because we are women, some of us have more hormones than others. Some of us have no hormones at all. But regardless, it says that God's word is truer than how I feel. Everybody got that? Yeah. God's word is truer than how I feel. So when I wake up, and I know this will be a shock, but there are times when I am depressed. And so when I'm depressed, I have to wake up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will. I don't want to. I will be glad and rejoice in it. Because the very act of obedience brings his Spirit present in my life and allows the Lord to do a work in my life. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. I don't want to be filled with me. I want to be filled with his Spirit. Because then anything can happen. Anything is possible. Proverbs says the godly life is exciting, but the backslider's life is boring. And we in Washington, D.C. do not like to be bored. So follow after Christ and see. Just taste and see what amazing things he's done. And as many of y'all know, I've been on two unusual journeys this year, and I've missed y'all. And many of the different responsibilities that have come across our family have taken a lot of our time and attention. And this summer, as some of you know, and my mother, we found out in April that she was ill. She had fainted. No history of anything. We had a huge 85th birthday for her last fall, and it was tons of fun and just great, healthy, strong mom. And then in April, she fainted. A neighbor took her to the hospital. She lives in Naples, Florida. And so they did a CAT scan of her brain, thinking maybe she had had a minor stroke. And when they did this CAT scan of her brain, they realized she had all these lesions in her brain. And they were malignant. And so the primary source was her lungs, and she had stage 4 lung cancer. And so what do I do? Lord, show me the way. Lord, you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. Show me the way in this journey. As many of you may remember, my dad died when I was a teenager, so my senior year in high school was clinging to the Lord and caring for my dad, and that was just a different journey, a different challenge. But when you have the Lord Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in your life, everything changes. I want you to turn to Isaiah 46, because if you don't already have this, it's one of a favorite verse, but it came across with more meaning this season. Because I said, Lord, how will I carry my mom? She who carried me, she who carried 4 children, she who has always been strong and independent. Show me the way, because I don't know this way. Isaiah 46, verse 3. Listen to me, Holly. You who are the house of Jacob, who are faithful, you who remain, you who are the remnant, you whom I have upheld since you were conceived. I have carried you, Holly, since your birth. And even to your old age and when you have gray hair, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you, Holly, and I will carry you and rescue you and your mom on this journey. Just stay close to me. Let me show you the way. I cannot tell you how many times that verse came back and came back and came back to me. And when the first time I went to visit my mom after this diagnosis, she just was as strong and healthy as any of you. Just, Holly, I just can't believe this. I said, I know, Mom, I can't believe this either. She said, I don't even know what to expect. And so we would go to the doctor and they let us know, stage 4 lung cancer, age 85, your prognosis is not good, Mrs. Mantler. It's usually just a few months. And here she is, strong, healthy, eating. Who can believe this? But sure enough, week by week, this insidious disease started to take its toll. What does that look like? What does that look like? I said, Lord, show me the way. Show my two brothers and myself the way. And as my mom started losing her stability and went from walking with a cane to a walker to a wheelchair, as she went from, 135 pounds to 92 pounds, Lord, show me the way. When she lost her hair and then needed caps and hats, Lord, show me the way. And one of the sweetest things, you can't imagine because you don't know. That's the whole reason. We walk by faith, not by sight. What does that mean? I love this little saying. It said, walking by faith means that you walk above sea level. It's not what you can see. It's what God can see. But one of the things I did is I thought, these nurses that come to care for my mom, they don't know what a young, beautiful person she was. And so I made this little booklet, and on the front page is a picture of my mom when she was like 20 years old. That's my mom at 20 years old. And then inside are pictures of her, and I'm happy to pass that around. So, and then on the front of all her medical was this picture that was taken about 20 years ago. So she's probably 60 here, and this is me. I know I haven't changed a bit in 20 years, but anyway, that's me and my brothers and my sister. And so this was on the front of her little medical records, because when one of us was almost always with her, we just rotated. We all lived far away, but we all would fly in, stay a week, and then the other sibling would come in. So at any rate, it was so fun because all the nurses, all the hospice care workers, I made one for all my siblings and one for my mom. And when her priest would come in, he would tease her about how cute she was. But the nurses said, this is so wonderful, because by the time we see people, we have no recollection of who they were. Mm-hmm. And can we keep this? They came to her service, and I gave one of the little booklets to them, but the Lord showed me that. The Lord gave me this little thing that was a fun thing to share as new nurses came in, and I could tell them about my mom. And it delighted her. It delighted her that people remembered she was once young and beautiful. The other thing the Lord gave me, as he carried me and my mom and our whole family through this, is this wonderful movie, and I think many of y'all have probably seen it, the Louis Giglio, Indescribable. And it shows incredible pictures of the Sombrero Galaxy and these different things that the Hubble telescope has seen. And, you know, they've been in the newspaper. I mean, it's just stunning, incredible, incredible pictures. So here's my mom in bed, and here's me, and there's my husband, Jerry, come on one of these visits, and my sister. And we're all watching this incredible movie, which is just tremendous. He's talking about how great God is, putting the stars up there, and that we could watch this. This was July 5th, I think. She died. She passed away to be in glory on July 17th. Who knew that that's how short her days would be? And that we together got to see this reminder of how great God is and how amazing he is, and he who put the planets in orbit. And the reason we have fall, I was telling the Lord, fall was a great idea. Thanks for tilting the world so we could have leaves that change colors. I mean, way to go. That was a great idea. But don't you see, it is so exciting when you're obeying the Lord and you're staying close to him. And he can show you what he wants you to see for the next thing and the next thing. When we think about what does it mean to serve, I looked up many different Bible dictionaries, Webster's. I love the old Webster's 1878 Bible. It all, the Webster's, sorry, 1878 dictionary. Y'all keep me straight. So anyway, that dictionary has a scripture for almost every word. That shows you where it is in Scripture. To serve means to work for, to bestow the labor of mind and body in the service of the employment of another. To serve means to work for, to bestow the labor of body, mind, and spirit, and that's what the Lord calls us, of an employer or of another. To obey means to comply with the commands, directions, or request of a person, or a law, or authority. To comply with the commands, directions, or requests. It's interesting, in the cycle, there's a dictionary that psychologists use. It's the psychology so-and-so-and-so-and-so dictionary. It says, obedience occurs when you change your opinion, your judgments, or actions because someone in a position of authority has told you to. Isn't that interesting? You change. And isn't that the whole point? Holly, you used to think this, and I want you to think this. I mean, that's just the coolest thing. Okay, and what is an authority? The power and right to give orders, to make commands or decisions, and enforce obedience as one who has a supreme authority, a supreme ruler. Now, what do we do happily? We sing, He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our God reigns. And don't you love it when you see somebody signing Our God Reigns? They don't put a crown on the head. They do like a horse's reins. I'll take you to the left. I'll take you to the right. I will lead you. I will guide you. The Lord said, I will put my spirit in you. And He'll say, this is the way, Holly. Walk in it. This is so great. This is so exciting. And what does Jesus say? If you love me, you will obey my commands. Well, what has He commanded us? What has He commanded us as women? What are the things unique to us in 22013? This is the only time we're on the planet. This is the only time we get a chance to share our faith. In heaven, everybody there already knows Jesus. Thank you very much. You need to share it right now. When you get to heaven, excuse me, does anybody collect asphalt? Do you have a little pile of asphalt in your house today? But if I ask you, how much gold do you have? How much gold jewelry do you have? Because in heaven, the streets are gold. Nobody needs your gold. The only chance you have to give away is right now. If Jesus came back today, would you be happy what's in your savings account, what you have in your house? Do you wish you'd given more of it away? You only keep what you give away. Don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where robbers can steal, can rust, moths can eat at it. Put treasures in heaven where nobody can take them away. And you know, it's so much fun when you get to give away. And if you get this lesson, it'll change your life and you'll start having so much fun when you obey God in a hard place. Obeying God in this journey with my mom. There are a million things we had on our calendar for the summer. Everything gets erased because my mom needs me and we'll be there. And Lord, what do you want me to see? But there's times that just the weirdest things happen and we go, oh Lord, how are you doing this? Some of you might remember this very challenging time that almost now seems a little bit crazy. But at the time, what do we know Scripture says? I am a wife, I am a mother, I am a sister, I am a daughter-in-law, and I am a grandmother. I'm a Gigi, it's so much fun. So anyway, but I know these Scriptures. Wives, yield yourselves to your husband as unto the Lord. What does that look like in this century? What does that look like? Did God change it for this century? One of the biggest challenges happened just a few years ago. I was in my 50s and going to speak at an event in Philadelphia. And some of you know my husband. He's usually pretty wise, and he's really a brilliant, godly, terrific guy. And so I'm going to take the train. They have given me a train ticket to come up to Philadelphia to speak at this event. And Jerry says, "Honey, you know what? I really want to drive you to the train station because I have a meeting in D.C., and I just don't want you to go by yourself to the train station and park your car, and you're going to be there overnight, and then when you come back the next day, you know, I just would rather do that." I went, "Honey, I am 57 years old. I can drive downtown. I know. I've been to the train station many times. I can park. I can do this." And he goes, "Holly, I know you can do this, but I just would rather you not. I have an appointment at 10 o'clock downtown, and I'll just take you." And I go, "Honey, my train is not until 3:30. I would spend the entire day at the train station." But I could tell he wasn't budging. It wasn't a matter of what was realistic. It was totally illogical. But what does Scripture tell me? It doesn't say, "Holly, just obey when you get it." God didn't just say, "Holly, just obey the words that you understand in Scripture." Maybe it's extra points when I obey and I don't understand. So anyway, I realized just to fight with him over this, there was no use to do this. I love this man. He loves me. It seemed very irrational to me, but I just thought, I do like the train station. There are a lot of restaurants. I can have fun. I can make this work. And I can take all my notes. I know. I can shop. I can go over my notes. I can just have a great day. Just make the best of it. So, yes, ladies, I was dropped off at the train station at like 9:45 and just going, "Oh, this is wonderful." And I get my coffee and get my stuff. And then, you know, a little bit later, I get some lunch. And then I think, well, you know, I ought to probably find out where my train is actually going to come, what place it comes to. And so I go up to this lady. This is so much fun. I go up to my lady, and we're chatting. Some of y'all remember this. So Janet's my lady, and I'm chatting, and I just go, "Listen, I'm taking this train to Philadelphia at 3:30. I know I'm here early, but I just wanted to know, where do I need to go? I just want to be prepared." And she said, "Oh, yes, ma'am, let me just help you." And she was as nice as could be. Okay, right here where Heidi is another woman, and a soldier, a Marine, in his fatigues, goes up and says, is trying to buy a ticket to get home to New Jersey. And there are no seats left on this train but one first-class seat. And he says, "Well, ma'am, how much is a first-class seat?" And he says, "Well, that's $187. He went, "Oh." He said, "Well, when's the next train?" And she said, "Well, that'll be tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. So here I am, because the Lord has me in the train station for his good purposes. I go, "Let me buy your ticket. This was priceless." He turns around like in shock, but it was like this angel just pushed me forward. "Please, let me buy your ticket. It would be an honor. It would be a privilege to buy your ticket." My lady goes over and says, "You can't stop her from having a blessing. If she wants a blessing, you cannot stop her from having a blessing." Now, this is so great. Now, Heidi, that woman, starts crying like, "Oh, this is just the sweetest thing I ever saw." And I said, "Oh, please, sir." I said, "I have a son probably your age, and I would love to think somebody's going to help him come home." He said, "Well, do you see what God did? He had three women to get one Marine. It took three women to get one Marine where he needed to be. I mean, what if I hadn't been there? It was one of the most fun things I've ever done." So anyway, I get my, you know, throw out that plastic, and the lady did the stuff, and it was so fun. He said, "Well, ma'am, I don't even know what to say." And I said, "Well, I just think the Lord wanted me to buy you a ticket, and it's a privilege and an honor." And he said, "Well, I guess I should hug you." If you haven't had a Marine hug, you just haven't lived, right? And so do you see what you miss? When God has authorities over you, and maybe whether you're married, widowed, single, or divorced, God has people in your lives that he wants you to listen to. But what does he want you mostly to listen to? Himself. What does that look like, listening to him? It means you have to be still. That is probably one of the hardest things in our Washington arena, in my personal personality. I mean, it's like, how kind of you have a relationship like, "Hey, see you later. Be back." This is what we do. And we do that to the Lord, and we do it to our friends. Be still that you might know. What does know mean? K-N-O-W, that you would be intimately acquainted with. That's what it means. You can't be intimately acquainted with somebody. somebody that just gets catchphrases, who just gets voicemails or texts. God is so great. He loves for us to have these moments where we actually see what he was after, where we actually get a chance to see, oh, Lord, that's what you wanted. You weren't trying to hurt me or hinder me, sending me to the train station early. You wanted me to have this great story to tell, this great event where you have orchestrated. I got to be a part of that. But how many things have I not been a part of? Because I didn't listen. I didn't obey. I didn't surrender. Surrender. Boy, isn't that a great word? Isn't that a word we just don't hear way too much? Surrender, to relinquish possession of, to give up control to another, to yield to one in authority, or to one who has won the battle for ownership. Who has won the battle for ownership in your life? Jesus Christ won the battle to own me. And at 17, where I didn't know much, I can remember being in this beautiful cathedral in Atlanta, Georgia. I know y'all thought I was from New York, but I am from Atlanta. And as I'm praying, I'm going, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? And what I felt in my heart was just, Holly, I just want you. What, Lord, you can have me. I didn't know what that would mean, but I've grown into what that would mean. When I was 19, I married Jerry Leachman. For better or worse, richer or poorer, sickness and in health, we have seen all of the above, and hasn't everyone. I didn't know quite what that would mean. But after 42 years of marriage, I know more what that means. I know what God has said. He says that the two should become one. Not you go you where and I'll go mine. What does that look like? What do I have to give up? What do I have to do so that we could be one? And you know what? Everyone that I know is blessed because of that relationship. Because of my relationship with Jesus Christ and my relationship with my husband, because I take it seriously. Your obedience to Christ blesses everyone around you. Even the postmaster. Your children, your neighbors are blessed when you're following after Christ. But when you disobey, everyone is hurt. Your children are hurt. Your grandchildren are hurt. Your neighbors are hurt. Now, we have all made terrible mistakes. I have made plenty, and if we had more time, I would tell you lots and lots and lots. But that's why it's so great to know the blood of Christ is enough for all my sins and for the sins of the entire world. Do you know how powerful that is? When you visit somebody who's on their deathbed and they go, no, Holly, you don't know, I've done bad things. I've done bad things. I'm not going to heaven. And I could say no. Like Jerry's dad, who used to beat him and his mother when he had too much to drink. An abusive parent, and some of you in this room have had abusive parents or abusive spouse. What did Christ come to do? To put to death the works of the devil. He hates evil. True love hates evil. But what did he do for that? He died for that. So because of the blood of Christ, not only could Jerry forgive his dad, but he could fly to the hospital and say, Dad, you're going to heaven. He said, no, son, I did bad things. I did bad things to you and to your mom. And he could say, Dad, the blood of Christ is enough. You're going to heaven because Christ died on the cross for all your sins, for all my sins. That's incredible. But see, if you're not listening, you're not hearing the words that God has for you. And that's why every time I get to be here, which I love, I say blessings on you and I'm proud of you because you're here. All of us could be a million different places, but you are here to hear God's word, to fellowship with one another, here to bless and serve one another. I love hearing in the little core groups because all around I hear somebody helping somebody. Somebody's praying for somebody. Your gifts are unlike anybody else's gifts. Everybody in here has different gifts that God wants to bring together for his good purposes. You know, it's interesting when we think about obedience. And I know we have some horse people here. Think about Secretariat, this incredible, huge, beautiful horse. If that horse had never learned to take the bit, you would never have heard of him. You would never read a book or see a movie or hear people just glory in this beauty of this incredible animal that learned to be submissive, that learned to obey, that learned to yield, that learned to surrender to the bit. And the Lord's calling that for all of us. And I'm going to give you a little acronym that's going to help you. It's helped me my whole life. And that's why I love teaching, is I get to remind myself of what I need to repent of. Okay, everybody, you write STOP, S-T-O-P. Just write it down like that. Okay, S. What does S mean? Seek me first. And all these things, Holly, all these things that you're worried about and praying about, seek me first. Primo. And all these things shall be added unto you. All these other things. So as many of you know who know me well, years ago, decades ago, I learned this. And I learned it from Elizabeth Elliot. And one of the things she said is she would be in bed and she would share with us ladies about how the very first thing she did when she woke up was, "Good morning, Lord," and she would just pray. So I thought, that's a brilliant idea. I'm going to do that. And so, of course, I try and I fall right back to sleep. So actually, I have to get out of bed, go down the steps, and I have this elephant chair that I kneel and I give that day to the Lord. First fruits belong to the Lord. Don't you see? By obeying him in that little thing of giving him the first moment of the day, what do I need more than anything? Time. And the first fruits, the first wheat, the first baby lamb was given to the rabbi, and he would go in the temple and offer it to the Lord and promise by faith that there would be more grain, there would be more lambs. You can take my money. I don't have much, but you can have it. And maybe I can get some more. You can take my clothes, but if you take my time, can you give me back my time? It's the most valuable gift we have. So S, seek the Lord. T, truth of Scripture. What does Scripture say about this? The thing that I'm going through right now, what does Scripture say? Well, for my mom's illness, it says, children, honor your parents. For this is the first command with a promise. Honor her. Well, Lord, what will that look like? I asked some of my friends who'd gone through this before, and I got such great advice. One of them, her dad is a retired high military person, and he's in a care home in Baltimore. And she said, Holly, I go up to see him several times a week, and I realized how much he would not let me take care of him because he was a man and he had always been my dad. And I realized I couldn't step on his toes or he would get angry on those measures. I said, like what? And she said, well, he wouldn't let any of us kids bathe him, so we had, you know, a nurse that came in a couple times a week. She said, for example, at the place where he is, he can do physical therapy Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And the physical therapist came up and she said, Emily, every time I talk to your dad, I say, are you ready for physical therapy? And he goes, no, not today. And she said, should I keep coming up? This has been going on for months. And she said, oh, please keep coming. He needs to tell no to somebody. He needs to have a chance to tell somebody no, because everything he has to do is, yes, you have these shots. Yes, you have this treatment. So he needed to say no. So I'll never forget, Mom, her hair was bothering her, and this is before it had fallen out. And I said, well, Mom, can I wash your hair? I'd love to wash your hair. She said, no, Holly, I do not want you to wash my hair. So I said, okay, Lord, show me what to do. Can I take you to the beauty parlor? She said, oh, okay, you can take me to the beauty parlor. I had so much fun. So I went out and went to these different beauty parlors around because I wanted to check it out before I brought her. And we had, at that time, we just had a nurse that came in the morning. And so I went in and I said, do you have any appointments? Because most of her strength was in the early part of the day. And she said, yeah, we have a 10:30 and 11 o'clock. I said, well, I'll take both of them. My mom and I are going to come here and she just needs a shampoo and this will be great. And I just said, thank you. And so I went back, I called my mom, I said, Mom, do you want to do this? We can do it like in the next 30 minutes. I can come get you. And she said, okay. So I went back and she's going to do it. This is so great. And then I started sobbing, just sobbing. And I said, I'm so sorry, I'll be okay. I said, it's just that my mom's 85 and she's dying. And she used to take me to the beauty parlor. She used to take me for prom and homecoming. And she wanted me to look pretty. And now she's fading and I want her to look pretty. And they said, oh, honey, we'll take great care of her. But see, I didn't know. The Lord showed me the way. You need to know the truth of Scripture. Whatever you're doing today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. O is obey His word. Lord, whatever that looks like, help me to obey Your word today. Show me what it is that You want me to do. One time our son was going through some challenges, and thank heaven for St. Albans and NCS prayer groups. And I know all of our schools have wonderful prayer groups that pray for our kids. And so I was praying, and of course, you know, sometimes we get to this thing where we're just praying and praying. We have all these great ideas. And it's like, Lord, I want a relationship with You, but in an advisory capacity. And the Lord says, no. You are to obey me, Holly. Thank you so much for your great ideas. So I'm just kind of spouting all these great ideas, and I think, well, Lord, if You would just do this and have this coach say this or this teacher do that or this friend help here. And I'm thinking of all the ways that the Lord could help my son on that particular week. And I'm not kidding. We were driving... from Great Falls to D.C., to St. Albans. And I'm just still praying, and, you know, son, how are you doing? And so, and we're just kind of, I'm still praying and thinking and all that. And all of a sudden, my car just goes kaput. I thought, this is not supposed to be happening. And I said, son, he said, Mom, you're going to have to pull over. And the smoke's coming out. I go, oh, my goodness. I mean, we're not anywhere near D.C. And so I pull over and get up on this little off the way. And so Tucker and I sit. And my husband, of course, is in a meeting. And I won't hear from him for almost an hour, but I leave messages, and no one stops to help us. So I thought, Lord, what are we doing here? Lord, what's going on here? He says, Holly, I'm answering your prayer. He needs you. So my son and I had an hour on the side of the road that we never would have had if my car hadn't stopped. Some of you need to turn off your phones. Some of you need to stop texting. Just be all present. Wherever you are, be all there, because you cannot be any good where you are not. How many people, that's why I love the older women in my life, how many people wish that they had done this or that? Oh, Holly, if I could take back that year, that month, that week. If I'd listened to the angst of my neighbor, my friend, my relative. Be still and know, and then obey. Obey what God calls you to do. And then the P is pray and praise. Because obviously God says, pray about all things. Rejoice always. Give thanks in all things, for this is God's will concerning you and me in Christ Jesus. You want to know what His will is? Pray about everything. Give thanks. Because the minute I give thanks for something that's crummy, like, okay, Lord, this isn't what I had in mind, but I thank You that my car is broken. And I thank You that You're going to use us together for good. Because, see, the minute I give thanks for something I don't get, then God can enter in. Because that's faith. Faith is the hope of what you do not see. I do not see how God is going to use me going to the train station 7 hours early. He's going to help the world. But He did. The minute you give thanks, it's an act of faith. When you exercise faith, you have put the enemy at bay. Because the enemy and faith cannot coexist. Do you see that? How incredible that is. You want to get rid of the enemy? Well, exercise faith. And when you give thanks, you're exercising faith. You're saying, God, You could do something. You're going to do something here that I can't see. My best example that it just, you may have heard this, but it's true. It's happened to me. I really wanted to do this. I remember thinking over 15 years ago, like, Lord, I really want to get this. I really want to learn to give You thanks in all things. And so Tucker's a toddler, and my older kids are in high school or college. And so I'm just, you know, okay, I thank You for this new day. I thank You that we have food. I thank You I can see. And I'm thinking of everything I can thank the Lord for on a regular basis. And that particular weekend, we were going to one of those great galas that we have here in D.C. where you get to dress up and you're going to hear a wonderful, you know, orchestra and dance, and somebody had invited us to their table, and I'm just so looking forward to it. And like many of these events, an ambassador hosted, so the ambassador from, I don't know, Spain or somebody was hosting it. So I'm just in my mind, I'm so excited. I got a great dress on sale. Lord, I thank you for my dress on sale. I mean, you know, just all the things that are easy to thank the Lord for. So I have a neighbor comes over to watch Tucker, so I can just go do a jog around the neighborhood, get in great shape for my cute dress, and this is so fun. And I'm jogging down the road, and I fall. Does anybody remember this? I fall. This was a life lesson that has never left me. I fall, go, crud, and probably a lot of other words, but crud was one of them. And so I'm on the pavement, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I am not getting off this pavement until I think of something that I can honestly thank you for. And if I get run over, then I just get run over. But I am not getting off this pavement because I'm going to learn to thank you for all things, and I just haven't thought of anything yet. And so I'm sitting there, and so I say, okay, honest, I can thank you that I'm not so far that I can't get home. I can hobble home from where I am. Okay, that's legit. So I can stand up and get off the road. And so I get off the road, and I go, okay, I can thank you that I have insurance. That's a good thing. I can go, when I get my cast, I can thank you that I have insurance, and, you know, they'll see me at the emergency room. That's good. Okay, I can thank you that cast come in many colors. Because there will be a cast that can match my dress. Thank you, Jesus. There comes a cast that can match my dress. Okay, you're just going to love this. Y'all who haven't heard it and y'all that heard it before are going to love hearing it again. Because all the things that God did were amazing. I did break my leg. I did have a cast. And so I'm thinking, okay, Lord, now what are you going to do? Who knows? The ambassador from Spain might say, and where is the woman with the beautiful cast? Bring her to me. You know, like, who knows? So I went to this event, and many of you know me, I'm the kind who would dance on top of the table if given the opportunity. So I cannot dance because I have a broken leg, and the people that I'm sitting with, I love couples who aren't quite with the Lord yet. And it was so great because as they give you these seats with your beautiful names, calligraphy, I'm sitting next to a friend who doesn't know the Lord. And this man, this Jewish man who I love, said, Holly, tell me about your faith. How did you come? Mm-hmm. Ladies, if I hadn't broken my leg, I would have been on the dance floor. I would say, tell you later. You know, I just think, God heard me. You see how important that is? Stop. Seek the Lord. What's the truth of Scripture? What does he want you to obey? And then you get to celebrate. Then you get to pray and praise. And sometimes we don't get the answer as quickly as we love. But the Lord, he is able. You know, our lesson today talked about Jonah. And don't we identify with Jonah? He did not want to tell the Ninevites about the Lord. Because he knew God could be merciful and they might repent. Listen to this from Tim Keller. It's a great... We have a resource that enables us to stay calm in a storm, no matter how strong the storms that rage outside. Look at Mark, the Gospel of Mark. He has deliberately laid out the account of Jesus calming the storm. But if you look at it closely, he parallels it with Jonah. Both Jesus and Jonah went in a boat, and both boats were overtaken by a storm. The descriptions of the storm are almost identical. Both Jesus and Jonah were asleep on the boat. In both stories, the sailors woke up and the sleeper said, and the sailors woke up, Jesus who was sleeping and Jonah who was sleeping, the sailors woke up and said, we're going to die. And in both cases, there was a miraculous divine intervention and the sea was calm. Jonah was thrown into the sea. Jesus calmed the sea. Further in both stories, the sailors then became even more terrified than they were before the storm was calm. Two almost identical stories, but just one difference. In the midst of the storm, Jonah said to the sailors, in effect, there's only one thing to do. If I perish, you survive. If I die, you will live. That's what Jonah said, didn't he? In essence, that's just exactly what he said. I'm the trouble here. Just throw me out of the boat. But what happens in Mark's story? I think Mark is showing us in the Gospel of Mark that the stories aren't actually very different when you stand back a bit and look at them. Look at them with Jesus in view. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, "One greater than Jonah is here." And he's referring to himself. "I am the true Jonah. Someday I'm going to calm all the storms and all the waves in your life, in your children's life, in your grandchildren's life, in our country's life. One day, I'm going to calm all the storms. I'm going to destroy destruction, break brokenness, kill death." And how can he do that? He can only do it because he was on the cross. He was thrown willingly, like Jonah, to the ultimate storm, the ultimate waves, the waves of sin and death. Jesus was thrown in the only storm that could actually sink us, the storm of eternal justice, of what we owe for all our wrongdoings. That storm wasn't calm. No, Jesus swept it away. In the sight of Jesus, bowing his head into the ultimate storm is burned into the core of your being. Unless you get that, unless you see that, unless you feel that, you will never say, "God, don't you care? Did God care that my mom was dying? Yes. But was he present? Yes. And was eternal life just a curtain draw away? Yes. Because it's real. It's all real." And if you know that Jesus did not abandon you in your ultimate storm, what makes you think that he would abandon you in smaller storms, the ones you're experiencing today? And someday, of course, he will return and still all the storms for eternity. If you let that penetrate to the very core of your being, you will know how very, very much Jesus loves you. You will know that he cares, and you will have the power to handle the storms in your life because you never handle them alone. Nights alone with my mom, I was never alone. Jesus was there. He was always present. Lord, thank you so much that you always come where you're welcome. Lord, thank you that you promised to never leave us. Lord, thank you that you promised to never, ever leave us. Father, thank you that your love is incredible, more than we could ever take in or ever imagine. So, Lord, help us today to be found faithful and true, and to put into practice the call to obey you, to know your word, so that we would know which way to turn, to the left or the right, that we would learn to thank you, to obey you, and to surrender fully to you. And we ask it in the powerful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.